When the COVID-19 pandemic hit the U.S., the reaction was sweeping. Schools closed, restaurants were shuttered, most people descended into self-quarantine. But those measures came at a massive societal and economic cost. New research from the University of Georgia's Center for the Ecology of Infectious Diseases and College of Public Health explores the viability of possible alternatives and prevention models. We spoke with the report's lead author, Professor John Drake of the University of Georgia's Odom School of Ecology and director of the center, about his research and what it could mean for the future. Welcome to the show, Professor Drake.
Thank you, Chris. It's good to be here.
So can you give us just a quick summary of your report and what prompted you to explore this topic?
One of the things that we do in our research is we develop mathematical and computer models to try and understand the path that different epidemics might take. And so last spring, this is one of the things that we were working on while we were all sheltering in place at home. One of the things that was evident to us right off the bat is that this was going to be a long fight. Mm-hmm. And so we did not think that it would be feasible for us to be sheltering in place until the epidemic ended, until, for instance, we had vaccines and were able to reach herd immunity that way. So through some kinds of what we generically call non-pharmaceutical interventions, we would have to find ways of containing transmission. And as we began doing this research, it started to appear to us that there were sort of different clusters of strategies that one could take to reduce transmission while starting to open up the economy somewhat. Sure. And this paper reports on the theory that we developed around those strategies.
Well, what findings might be surprising or maybe even shocking to listeners?
One of the things that we found is that active case finding is absolutely key. And this can be done, for instance, by very aggressively looking for cases and doing contact tracing. Another thing that we found to be important is that tests are absolutely essential. Lots and lots of tests. I mentioned that we described basically two general strategies one could take to containing transmission. One of those targets people who are infected, basically isolating those people who are infected and says, well, if you're infected and potentially contagious, you need to isolate as well as possibly those around you. And that makes the community safe for others. But to know who's infected, you've got to use lots of tests. Mm. The other strategy says, well, what if we all continue to self-isolate, except those of us who can document that we aren't infected now? Mm-hmm. So this is the kind of thing that you've seen sometimes when at different times or going to different places, you need to show proof of a recent COVID negative test. Mm-hmm. In this case, what we're really doing is targeting healthy people. But again, the only way to target those people is to test them.
Well, you sort of mentioned elected officials. What can they learn to keep in mind when making decisions during other crises in the coming years?
So I think one important lesson is to act decisively and adaptively. Mm-hmm. I think that we had a bit of back and forth during this pandemic, which could have been avoided. Yeah. I also think that when you take decisive action, as we did last March, and I think that was the right thing to do, to use that time effectively. I think if we can accelerate the rate at which we develop new tests, diagnostics, and vaccines, I think that will be a great thing. And I think that, in fact, the vaccines is one of the great outcomes of this particular event. I think we've seen the fastest, most extensive development of vaccines ever in the history of humankind. And I think that's a game changer for dealing with infectious diseases.
Well, what's the next step in this research?
So one of the things that we're thinking about is, well, what will be the next pathogen? What will be the next pandemic? And I think that by developing this research that looks at qualitative strategies for reducing transmission, we'll be better prepared for responding and mitigating damage. The other thing that we're doing is we're trying to promote the idea of what we call infectious disease intelligence. Infectious disease intelligence is the idea that we can capture information in near real time and distribute that to people who need it. So on the organizational side, this is one of the things that we're really trying to develop between now and the next pandemic.
Professor John Drake of the University of Georgia's Odom School of Ecology, thanks so much for stopping by today.
Thank you, Chris.